Again, may I suggest you have your Bibles handy? We're in Ephesians chapter 5. We're dealing with the fact that we Christians are to walk in wisdom. To be wise and not foolish, to adorn the doctrines of Christ, to see to it that we walk correctly, because the world is full of pitfalls. And don't let your life be soiled and sullied with the filth and corruption of the world. And then we are to make the most of every opportunity of growing up in Christ, of knowing Him, of witnessing for Him, of walking with Him. Why? Because the days are evil days. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then we are to understand the will of the Lord, not to be senseless, not to be ignorant of the will of God, or to be ignorant of the times in which we live. And to walk in the will of God is to walk wisely. But as I say, how can I know His will? By staying in the Word of God. It's going to call for work. It's going to call for some stick-to-itiveness. We've got to mean business with God. Just putting it very bluntly, we have to mean business with God regarding His will. And He's promised to show it to us. Now we were dealing in our last lesson with this question of being spirit-filled. In verses 18 to 20, may I read them again, please? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We are to be spirit-filled. This is the enjoyment of divine life. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That God has made the provision for you and me to enjoy His life. Of course, if we are united to Christ, if He is in us and we are in Him by the Spirit of God, of course, we ought to enjoy divine life. It speaks over in 2 Peter 1:4 that we've been made partakers of divine nature. He informs us that His life has become our life, or in Him is life. His words, He said, are spirit and their life. And the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of God, which has been given unto us. And the Spirit of God is given unto us for this purpose. We might know the things of God. We might understand the will of the Lord. We might live lives that are pleasing, glorifying to Him. Now let's get back to this question. Being spirit-filled. And I was saying, it's a command of God. It's imperative. In fact, I'll be blunt when I make this statement. If we as Christians are not spirit-filled Christians, then we are disobedient Christians. This is not a request. This is a command. Keep on being filled. Not an act once for all. This is a continual thing. Again, may I remind you, to be born of the Spirit is an act once for all. To be baptized by the Spirit is an act once for all. To be sealed by the Spirit is an act once for all. To be indwelt by the Spirit is an act that God does the moment you accept the Savior. This is what God does. But the filling of the Spirit of God depends upon you and me. And a Christian is not Spirit-filled unless that believer is walking in fellowship with God in His will. I know I'm going over this. I want it very clearly understood. I find hungry Christians, people who are hungry for spirituality, and they're looking for some shortcuts. And people come along and offer them shortcuts. If you only had this experience, what a man you would be. Like a preacher said to me not too long ago here in Portland, in my office, he said, Mitchell, if you only had this, my, what a preacher you would be. Well, he's talking about experience. I could have said to him, well, brother, if you've had this experience or that experience, what a Christian you would be. But why get occupied with experiences? Experiences are a dime a dozen. Now, I like experiences. I like it. That deals with my emotional life. But let's get on to business. The important thing is not your experience. The important thing is obedience to the Word of God. To live in the Word of God. And a spirit-filled Christian is a man who's walking in fellowship with God. I have met people who talk about being Spirit-filled, but their lives are just the opposite. Let's be frank. Let's be open. Let's be real. You're not fooling anybody but yourself. My friend, I say this kindly and lovingly. The great yearning of the heart of God and of the early church apostles was that every believer should be Spirit-filled. It's within the province and right and experience of every Christian to be Spirit-filled. And it's imperative, living in a world in which we live, I say it's imperative that we be Spirit-filled, walking in fellowship with God. And again, may I say, the moment your fellowship with God is broken, you're no longer Spirit-filled. Then it comes to us to confess our sins frankly before God. If you mean business, of course, you've got to mean business in this. Your confession of your sin must mean business. And he's promised to not only forgive you, but to cleanse you. Now, I noticed in following this thing through that in the Gospel through Luke, which is the only gospel that speaks about being Spirit-filled, John speaks about the indwelling Spirit. John is dealing with the fact that our bodies become the temples of God, that the Spirit of God comes in to abide forever, and so on. But Luke is not dealing with that. Luke is dealing with the filling of the Spirit of God. You take chapters 1 and 2, for example, of the Gospel through Luke. You have Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit. What did he do? He prophesied. You have John the Baptist filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. You have Elizabeth filled with the Spirit. What did she do? She prophesied. You take Mary, she's filled with the Spirit, and she sang the Magnificat and prophesied. When you come to chapter 2, you find Simeon, the old man, in the synagogue, in the temple. What's he doing? He's Spirit-filled, and he's Spirit-taught, and he's Spirit-led. The Spirit was upon him, and he was taught by the Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit. When you come to chapter 4 of the Gospel through Luke, the very first verse speaks of our Savior. Our Lord was filled with the Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In verse 14 of chapter 4, he returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. In verse 18, he said, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do certain things." And it's not mentioned again in the whole Gospel through Luke on the filling of the Spirit. In chapter 11, the Spirit of God is brought in with respect to this question of praying. At the end of chapter, in chapter 24, the last chapter of Luke, our Savior told the disciples to tarry at Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, the last words of our Savior were, "You shall receive power, the Spirit of God coming upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." And then 10 times in the book of Acts, we read of someone being Spirit-filled. And when they were Spirit-filled, with great boldness gave the apostles witness of the death and resurrection of our Savior. You see, what I'm after here is this question of being Spirit-filled. I'm not dealing with the other aspects of it, just this one thing. And these are all the passages that have to do with being Spirit-filled. Now, when you come to Ephesians chapter 5, the wise Christian is the Spirit-filled Christian. He not only walks carefully, he not only buys up the opportunity, he not only understands the will of the Lord, but he's Spirit-filled. And may I say to you who are listening in today, you, if you love the Savior, can be Spirit-filled. Right where you are today, right where you are, in your office, in your car, in your kitchen, and don't wait for some experience. You come into fellowship with Christ. If you're a Christian and you are in fellowship with Christ, my friend, you're Spirit-filled. But I also suggest that the moment that your fellowship with Christ is broken, either through your self-occupation or through something you do, you're no longer Spirit-filled. And I care not what your experiences are, you're not Spirit-filled. But the moment you are in fellowship with God and His will, there is no higher experience for a Christian but to walk in fellowship with God in His will. This is the place of blessing. This is the place of power. This is the place of joy. This is the place of peace, to walk in fellowship with God in His will. And He's made provision for this. I've got a Savior in heaven praying for me. The Word of God has been given to me. The indwelling Spirit is there, all cooperating in one thing, that you and I might enjoy the very life of God Himself, day by day, hour by hour. Oh, what a life this Christian life is. What a life. That's why the world outside sees so little of it, because most of us Christians know so little of it. You know, it would be a tremendous thing in the world if all of us Christians, wherever we live, wherever the area we live, if we just live that quiet, wonderful life of walking in fellowship with God, radiating something of the love and tenderness and compassion of Christ. Oh, listen, friend, there are many broken hearts, many crushed lives, many bruised souls all around us. How are we going to reach them? It's the man walking in fellowship with God that he finds usable to reach these hearts. Not to come in with a club and club somebody, but to come in with that tenderness, love, compassion of the Spirit of God. Friend, this is what the world needs. What the Church of Christ needs, Spirit-filled Christians, men and women walking in fellowship with God who is love, in fellowship with God who is light, and to walk in that position whereby Christ will be glorified through us. We won't be dourful, sober-looking people. We'll be happy, joyful, full of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord, as we shall see in these next two or three verses. Now, you'll be a happy Christian today. If you're out of fellowship with God, remember He has said in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He's righteous to forgive us our sins. Don't stop there. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wonder of wonders. You right over the stove, over the kitchen sink. Wherever you are, you can be Spirit-filled today. Right now. If you're out of fellowship with God, be restored. And if you are in fellowship, rejoice that you're in vital union with the living God Himself. Enjoy Him today, won't you? And the Lord bless you.